Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Tethys Oil's webcast for the fourth quarter 2016. We are happy today to present what is in effect a very strong report in our mind, clouded a little bit by an irritating reporting error, which we'll give more details on presently. But focus on the highlights for the fourth quarter. Production was very much in line with the third quarter 2016 at a healthy 12,000 plus barrels of oil per day. Then for the star number, our 2P reserves increased by a reserve replacement ratio of 171%. So we actually end the year with more reserves than we had when we started. And this is, of course, a number that is extremely important to us in that it proves both our business model, the robustness of the project, and the strong remaining potential in Blocks 3 and 4 in Oman. The export reporting error is a consequence of a meter calibration matter that was ongoing on a very, very small scale and thus remained undetected for a long period of time, but accumulated has affected Tethys' result, we estimate, negatively with $5.9 million. Since the major part of the production, of course, is cost oil, the actual cash effect to us will be a lot less. We estimate probably less than $1.4 million. It's a one-off, of course. The matter is rectified. We have absolutely no reason to assume that it will affect us in the future in any way whatsoever. But it is, of course, irritating that it takes a little bit of focus away from what is otherwise a very strong report indeed. Average selling price, $46, is the way it is. We can just note that it's oil prices have increased since then. And, of course, we are looking forward to higher prices for the current quarter. It's in line with Q3, which also means that our key financial numbers, both revenue, EBITDA, and net result, would be very much in line with Q3 had it not been for the reporting error. So the 20.7, of course, would be 26.6, the 9.6 would be 15.5, and the net result would, in effect, be slightly higher than Q3 at 7.4, but with the reporting error, we are down to 1.5, which, of course, also flows through to earnings per share, where we actually did take a hit of almost 70 cents a share. Net cash continued to increase. End of Q3, we had cash of 48.2. We distributed $12 million to shareholders in Q4, but still ended the quarter up a healthy $3 million at 39. And as expected, I should say, we propose to keep our dividend, same as last year, 1 crown per share. And we will, of course, monitor the year and oil price and our performance in general. And if possible, we will revisit the possibility of distributing more cash to shareholders in accordance with our long-term financial goals. So turning to the brief summary, Oman Blocks 3 and 4, is, of course, the star performer. It's where we have most of our production. We have a little bit also from Lithuania. But it's in Oman, in Blocks 3 and 4, where we see the major growth and the major remaining potential. And, of course, we get all of our cash flow. Lithuanian licenses are still production, still making money, still receiving a dividend from the producing areas in Gazdai. Rietavas and Resenai are under reasonable evaluation. France remains mothballed. So, turning to by far the most pleasant and the most important slide in the entire presentation, production. We started the year with 2P reserves of 18.2 million barrels. We produced a very healthy 4.4 million barrels and ended the year with 21.4 million barrels of 2P reserves. So we are very happy to note that our general guidance, that given our cash flow-oriented model, where we bring discoveries into production very quickly and then go from the crest of the structure out towards the flanks, we suggested that our 3P number is really better reflected the actual reserve situation than the 2P. And, of course, we can show that to be true very clearly with this year's development, where we have moved virtually all our 3P into 2P and still added more 3P from the work we have done. Also important to point out that this is not exploration success. This is appraisal and increased recovery factors from water injections, et cetera, and a further understanding of the producing fields that we have. Simply from infill drilling, from appraisal, and from maturing and optimizing the existing fields, we've been able to increase our reserves. As of the end of the fourth quarter last year, we are now back into exploration mode. We've seen one fault block discover oil again along the Farre trend, came on stream in early this year, and we are currently drilling two exploration wells. Of course, we are very happy to be back in exploration, and we have high hopes for what they will turn into. We remain optimistic on the reserve growth for the future. Turning to production, we've stayed very close to 12,000 barrels of oil per day for the entire year and for the latter part of the year. We are quite happy with the number. We wouldn't have minded seeing a slightly higher number towards November, December. Was affected a little bit by maintenance work, but also by water injection in parts of the Shahad field, taking a little bit longer than hoped for to come into effect. Looking at the yearly trend, we increased production by 25% compared to 2016, and we stabilized in a very attractive way towards the last quarters, the third quarter and fourth quarter of 2016. For outlook, we would expect production to remain approximately in line with the 12,300, partly as a consequence of guidance from the Ministry of Oil and Gas in Oman, where following the OPEC Accord, our guided production for the year will stay at 12,300, subject, of course, to fluctuations that may occur both operationally and with other operators in Oman. On that note, I would like to turn the floor to our new CFO, Jesper Alm, who will present his first report and participate in his first webcast and explain what we are doing financially. Jesper, please.
Good morning, everyone. Quite exciting to have this as the first quarterly report with the export reporting error coming in. Nonetheless, let me go through the financial numbers for the quarter. Revenue for Q4 came in at $20.7 million, taking the export reporting error into consideration, and it would have been $26.6 million without the effect. $26.6 million is a 2% increase versus Q3. Turning slide to sold barrels. During the quarter, we sold 580,000 barrels, and we increased our overlift position by 2,300 barrels to a total of 28,000 barrels at the end of 2016. Turning to page 9 of the presentation, achieved oil price very much in line with Q3. The number came in at 46 for the quarter, and we note that at year end the prices were around 55 and have continued in that region at the outset of 2017. And as you know, we have a 2 month delay in our achieved oil price, so we are looking forward to seeing the effects of the higher oil price in Q1 and onwards. EBITDA, excluding the effect of the error, came in at 15.5, which is very much in line with Q3, and 9.6, taking the error into consideration. This corresponds to an EBITDA margin of 46% in Q4. Moving on to expenses, page 11. Same here, very much in line with Q3, total expenses exactly the same number, and a very steady on both admin and operating expenses. Moving forward to OpEx and netback, we've seen during 2016 a good reduction in OpEx per barrel, and we end the year with 8.2 OpEx per barrel, which is the same as for the entire year 2016. And this is a downward adjustment of 32% in comparison to 2015. Net result after tax impacted by the metering or the export reporting error for Q4, it would have been 7.4, which is $1 million above the Q3, but taking the error into consideration, we ended at 1.4. Bearing in mind here that our estimated net cash effect of the error is 1.4 million or less in comparison to the top line and result effect of 5.9. Balance sheet, as Magnus mentioned, we ended the year at 39 million net cash, and that is following a distribution through redemption of shares during Q4 of $12 million. And in total, during 2016, we have distributed around $15 million to our investors, and the proposal for dividend at the upcoming AGM is the SEK 1.0 that we have distributed also as a dividend in 15 and 16. Turning to oil and gas investments, we've seen quarterly fluctuations throughout the year, ending the year at 48 million invested and 15 in Q4. As will be obvious on the next slide, we drilled a few more wells during Q4, 12 wells in comparison to the average for the three past quarters of 9 wells per quarter. We expect the work program and budget for 2017 to remain in line with what we invested in 2016, but the focus will be more tilted towards exploration than development, which was the case during 2016. We expect to fund our operations and investments on Block 3 and 4 from cash flow and available funds. Turning to page 16, wells in Oman. During the quarter, we had a focus on the Farah South field with a total of 7 wells drilled, 5 appraisal production, and 2 water injection wells. On the Shahad and Saiwan East fields, we drilled 5 wells, and that was a mix of production, injection, and water source wells. All in all, 12 wells drilled during the quarter, and that was the highest number for any quarter during 2016. With that, I say thank you for this and hand back to Magnus.
Thank you very much, Jesper. Very clear and interesting. So, back to the geology and what the business is really all about, finding and producing oil. Before you, you see the Block 3 and 4 license area. And notice also that Block 3 is a little bit smaller than it was last time after we had a border adjustment earlier in the fourth quarter. We still believe that the area is highly prospective. I want to emphasize here that the reserve numbers of 21.42p and 29.73p are only relating to our producing fields. They are producing reserves in the Farah South, Zawan East, and Shahad field. The seismic areas These seismic programs were completed in 2015, and we've done some extensive mapping and interpretation in 2016, and although no new seismic was shot, and as you'll see, we have a number of prospects going forward. Now, one of the keys we have here is the area around the producing fields, and then we also have the far field exploration. We believe that both areas remain to be quite prospective, and I will continue to explain a little bit how. We turn to the next page, and we look at the schematic, stratigraphic representation of the rocks, the rock layers that we are dealing with. These are pretty old rocks. Most of the production we actually have is Cambrian, or even Precambrian. The Farre field, one of our largest producers, comes from the clastic sandstones in the Barrick. It's roughly in the middle of the picture here. Fairly thin sands, but very predictable, and the reservoir mechanism and the fault blocks, the trapping mechanism, is very visible from seismic. We have a very high success rate in drilling wells in this area, well above 80%, actually closer to 90% today. And we see ample opportunity for growth also here. The Shahad and Sao 1 fields produced from more fickle carbonates in the Buha and in the Hufai. That's partly why water injection is more difficult to predict. In parts of these carbonates, we are fracture dependent, and if you have a fracture and put water into it, well, it may very well go into your oil section and push up the oil. It may also go in a completely different direction, whereas a sandstone is much, much more predictable. And we have seen a little bit of that. We are happy to say that water injection seems to work, both for the Buwa and the Hufai, and that has helped our reserve numbers, but also shows increasing the potential in the carbonates. Then below the Hufai, we enter areas of the Abu Mahara group, where we have some beautiful sandstone reservoirs. However, so far, no oil has been discovered in these rock layers in Oman. But we have some nice structures and are quite hopeful we may be able to change that in the future. Turn to the next slide, we have the Farre South field. Well understood today, quite well understood, I should say. Discrete fault blocks producing from the Barrick layer responds very well to water injection. Today we have about 10 fault blocks mapped that remain undrilled. We hope to see several of these drilled during the year. And of course, we see ample exploration upside in this, in immediately adjacent to this field, close enough to call it appraisal rather than exploration. I should say that the reserve numbers reflect only fault blocks that have been drilled and are in production. The Shahad field on the next page consists also of a large area where we have several kinds of oil. We have heavy oils in virtually every well we drill, and in some wells and in some parts of the Buwa structure and the Hufai structure, we also have very good flows of the conventional oil, about 32 to 38 degree API. This is the oil reservoir in the green spots. We have a number of yellow spots here that are prospective for additional, for expanding the Shahad field sweet spots. And that's also, of course, something that we will be looking for in the upcoming year. And one of these yellow dots is actually being drilled as we speak. Given that we have oil in several different layers, if we briefly turn back to the Farre South slide again for a second here, let me just point out that as we move south from the Farre South field into the Shahad area in Block 4, we hope to find areas where actually we have oil both in the Barrick and in the Buah and in the Hufai, which of course will both increase reserves and facilitate production. Jumping forward now, Jacob, if we could go to the leads and prospects map. That's partly what we're trying to do here. The yellow stars indicate the exploration wells that we have that we planned to start drilling in 2016. Two started and are currently ongoing. We have some encouragement in one of them, and it's currently being evaluated. The other one is still drilling. But what we hope to do, of course, is find oil both in the Barik, in the Hufai, and in the Buah, depending on where they are located, and possibly also prove that in the area between the Farha South and the Shahad Zawan area, we may be able to produce oil from all the reservoir layers in question. Of course, should we be able to drill deeper below the Hufai and be able to get some indications of what we have in the Abu Mahara and deeper sands, that could be an added benefit. We are looking at a geologically quite exciting year. Last year, we saw a lot of appraisal and optimization of the known fields. This year, we hope to expand the known field areas, but also look at other potentially interesting areas in the blocks. Of course, as you see from the vast amount of leads, we have a lot of work left to do in the far field area before we are done with assessing the peak potential of these highly interesting and prolific blocks. Turn to the conclusion. Excellent reserve replacement ratio of 171%, with 2P reserves now standing at 21.4 million barrels and 3P reserves of close to 30 million barrels. Continued production growth, 25% higher in 2016. We believe we'll have continue to have monthly fluctuations, and depending on how the oil price and the production ceiling pans out, we are looking at staying around somewhere 12,000 plus barrels of oil per day for the first 6 months of this year. The irritating reporting error is there. It's been rectified. We've taken the hit to the result. And as I say, since most of the oil was cost oil, the actual value effect is not going to be more than less than $1.4 million. We stand by our dividend. We may revisit the distribution later this year. We continue to spend money, and of course we do believe in higher oil prices going forward, although there's absolutely no hurry. We don't want to get too much production until the price has seriously stabilized. But we continue to spend both to maintain and increase our production, but in particular to increase our reserves. Exploration is ongoing, and we already, as of late last year, had a new previously unreal Farha South 4 block in production. So on that note, I would like to say that this is a strong report. We are very, very happy with all the fundamentals. We are irritated by the reporting error, but it's been rectified and solved. And we look forward to a very exciting 2017, not least first quarter, with both exploration, higher oil prices, and continued production. So happy to see you again on May 2nd, when we plan to present our numbers for the first quarter. On that note, questions, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for the speakers, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you'll enter a queue. After you are announced, please ask your question. Please hold until we have the first question. We have a question from Theodor Nielsen from Swedbank. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Jesper and Magnus. Thanks for taking my questions. Just a few questions on this OPEC quota, and which obviously will imply somewhat lower production for you guys than maybe we could have expected a few months ago. How is actually compliance on that quota or your production measured?
Okay, thanks for the question, Theodore. It's really a guidance. I mean, Oman, of course, is not part of OPEC, but they've informed us that they have agreed to limit their production in line with the proposal from the OPEC countries, which is to say that Oman as a country has a quota they cannot exceed. Now, there are several producers in Oman, and they could all have fluctuating production. We've been informed that we should expect guidance of about 41,000 for the entire consortium, of which we have 30%. But of course, if there are shortfalls in other areas, we may be asked to increase our production so that Oman as a country can get as close as possible to its ceiling production. Therefore, we would expect monthly production to continue to fluctuate, both for operational reasons, but also for quota reasons. But the overall guidance is that we should expect to come close to 12,300 barrels a day for the first half year.
Okay. And then with regards to number of wells for 2016, could you indicate how many wells you plan to drill in 2017 and then overall CapEx?
We expect it to be roughly in line with 2017, including also the number of wells. Given that there'll be a slightly more focus on exploration, of course, exploration success may result in additional wells to go for development, or one may also wish to appraise further. There could be some fluctuations given that there's a slight change in the focus of the work program. But the overall guidance is that we should be close to 2016.
Okay. And a last question from me. What should we expect going forward with regards to the ratio of share redemption versus ordinary dividend?
Jesper, you want to comment on that?
The ordinary dividend is by now an ordinary dividend, and we have historically used redemption as a way to manage the net cash position in relation to our long-term capital goal, and that's also taking in potential new ventures, etc., into consideration. So expect nothing, but it is a question that is continuously revisited by the board of directors.
Okay, thank you. That's all from me.
We have a question from Johan Widmark from Erik Penser Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, Magnus and Jesper. Just one question. With the higher oil price and, I suppose, increased activity in the sector and your increased focus on exploration, could you elaborate a bit on how you expect OPEX per barrel to develop during the year?
Jesper? Yeah. During 2016, we've seen a clear reduction from our past OPEX per barrel numbers. We see no reason for major deviations from these present historical numbers going forward.
Okay. Thanks.
We have a question from Johan Nilsson from Remium. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello, Magnus and Jesper. I follow up on the OPEX question there, but more in details about the cost cutting versus the, what you call it, the scale advantage with higher production. Could you give us any clue about the mix between those?
Our OPEX cost.
Yeah, the reduction, which is the major effect of those, the scale advantage or the cost cutting, and in what way?
Magnus Jesper, sorry to interrupt. Can you please come closer to the telephone because we cannot hear the answer for your question, please?
We haven't moved.
But now we can hear clear. Please reply to Johan Nilsson's question.
Can you hear Jesper?
I can't hear Jesper.
Jesper,
I hear you.
Say something.
Technical error. So can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you now.
Yeah. So I don't know where I was cut out, but I'll take it from the beginning. Our operating cost per barrel is partly made up of tariff costs, which is a per barrel amount, and we don't see any change in that per barrel. When it comes to the operators' work on the field, obviously there are remaining economies of scale should the production increase. When it comes to general cost trends in the industry, we've probably seen a majority of the cost revisions over the past 12 to 24 months, and probably not much more to do. So that's the view on OPEX per barrel.
Okay, could you maybe give some guidance on the cost reduction part? Is it more ramped up, or have you more to see there compared to the last quarters, or has the majority of it been taken already?
As I said before, I see no reason to expect major deviations from the historical numbers during 2016.
Oh, okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
I remind you that if you want to ask a question, you will have to press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have a question from Carl Fredrik Schjött Pettersson from ABG Sundal Collier. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, guys. Just following up on the CapEx questions. Do you have any comments regarding the timing of the spending? Is it going to be flat throughout the year, or is it being kind of a lump sum in the beginning of the year with relations to the exploration?
As we saw during 2016, there are quarterly fluctuations, partly not seasonal effects, but there are effects at the end of some of the quarters. But our guidance is for the full year, very much in line with 2016, but there will be fluctuations quarter by quarter.
Okay, and a second question also on OPEC. You said that you'll could be allowed to increase your production if other fields fall short of their guidance. Would it be situations where we have the opposite effect, that some fields have fluctuations which calls for lower production from your field? And following to that, do you expect to ramp up production when the production cut is matured or finished?
Yeah, on the first part, obviously, the aim of the agreement between OPEC and non-OPEC is for the countries to have stable productions around what they have agreed to. So should we have a shortfall, I'm sure someone else will compensate for our shortfall. And should there be shortfalls among the other major producers, we may be asked to fill up that gap on a month-by-month basis.
Okay, but could you be asked to reduce your production further if anyone has too much production?
As we understand it, the production recommendation that we have received along with the other producers in the country is based on production during parts of second half of 2016. So during the six-month period, we don't expect any changes to the recommendation that we have received.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. Please go ahead, speakers.
In that case, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening in. We wish you a happy first quarter and hope that you listen again on the 2nd of May when we present Tethys' first quarter results. Thank you very much.
And also a happy Valentine's Day to everyone.
You're so polite, Jesper.